The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, and the title of this segment is called Ebony. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Boss Moves, Grownish star Yara Shahidi inks overall deal with ABC Studios. Yara Shahidi may only be 20 years old, but she's out here making moves, and we love to see it. The Grownish star and executive producer officially inked an own overall deal with ABC Studios. Yara Shahidi, along with her business partner and mother, Carrie Shahidi, will develop and produce scripted and alternative television projects for cable, streaming, and broadcast via their newly launched production company, Seventh Son. I am thrilled to be partnering with my home family, ABC Studios, in this exciting next chapter alongside my family, said Shahidi in a statement. It's exciting to add our production company to the roster of my peers and mentors who are also actively committed to sharing meaningful stories. Shahidi is best known for playing Zoe Johnson on ABC's award-winning show Blackish and its spinoff Grownish. In fact, Grownish was renewed for a fourth season back in January. We can't wait to extend and expand our relationship with the incredibly talented Yara Shahidi, who has been a member of the family since Blackish, said ABC Studios president Johnny Davis. When she's not studying at Harvard and starring in our series Grownish, she's mentoring and inspiring other young people, which makes us all feel like underachievers, but also very proud that she's part of our studio. The Shahidis have brought on LaJoy St. George to lead development for Seventh Son. St. George was recently manager of scripted programming for NBC Universal International. They have also taped Mara Shawns to be director of creative media. The next article is titled, On Opening Day, Every Baseball Player Took a Knee to Support Black Lives Matter Movement. Major League Baseball players and coaches returned to the diamond in a major way Thursday after the pandemic declared opening season. In Washington and LA, players for the Washington Nationals, New York Yankees, Los Angeles Dodgers, and San Francisco Giants participated in a pregame tribute to Black Lives Matter, Yahoo Sports reports, in which they all took a knee while lifting a black banner. The players knelt on one knee, a move made popular in 2016 by former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick to protest police brutality and racial injustice. A social injustice video recorded by Morgan Freeman played on the screens, and BLM stencils appeared on the mound at both stadiums. It was a huge moment for Major League Baseball, since they, unlike the WNBA, NBA, and NFL, have been slow to publicly participate in demonstrations. The acts of solidarity differed slightly in the two cities. All players stood as the national anthem played, but in the City of Angels, rookie Mookie Betts remained kneeled as teammates Max Muncy and Cody Bellinger each rested a hand on Bette's shoulder for comfort and support. Still, this isn't the first time MLB has supported the movement. Back in June, players slid up to the home plate by releasing a video showing their support for the Black Lives Matter movement. In the video, they said, "You have cheered for us, but we need you to cheer with us now when you needed us most. Black Lives Matter. It's our cheer for change. It's your cheer for us. It's these cheers that will unite us. One team, one dream, be the change." Thursday's season opener was a return to the new normal with empty stadiums after the coronavirus almost interrupted the entire baseball season. The next article is titled, "Taraji P. Henson is producing an Empire spinoff based on her iconic character." Taraji P. Henson's own Empire is just getting started. In fact, the character she made famous, Cookie Lion, is getting its own spinoff, and we're here for it. According to Deadline, the actress is also developing the spinoff in which she'll star. It's Henson's first project from the first look deal that her production company, TPH Entertainment, secured with 20th Century Fox TV. "I believe that normalizing stories around stigmatizing matters will make them more palatable for audiences to embrace," said Henson in a statement. "Art can change perception, and I plan to develop projects that can help further the conversation. I also aim to help cultivate and establish new young talent and their stories because they are our future and deserve a voice and a platform to be heard," she continued. "I'm so excited to have 20th, led by the talented Carolyn Cassidy, support me in this new endeavor." The currently untitled show, which will be set in Los Angeles, will follow what's next for Cookie. It will also potentially offer a fitting ending for fans of the series since it was cut short due to COVID-19 filming suspensions. The series will be executive produced by Single Ladies creator Stacey A. Littlejohn, Empire co-executive producer Yolanda Lawrence, and Empire co-creator Danny Strong. Sana Hamry, another Empire alum, is slated to direct the pilot. Henson joins fellow actresses such as Regina King and Nia Long, who are stepping behind the camera to produce content they believe have the power to change hearts and mind. The next article is titled, "Issa Rae taps Talithia Walkins to head management company for Black creatives." Issa Rae just made some major moves in solidifying the success of her management company that's looking for the best and brightest when it comes to women and minorities in Hollywood. Along with her producing partner, Denise Davies, Rae hired Talithia Walkins from CAA to come lead Color Creative, a company the duo created in 2014 to help talented people in Hollywood secure knowledgeable and well-connected representation. Color Creative has always prioritized women and minority creators, and venturing into management allows us to double down on our commitment, Rae told Deadline, who first reported the news. "We are absolutely thrilled to have Talithia come in and expand the division and look forward to representing the brightest and sharpest storytellers within our community." Walkins, who will officially move into her role at the end of the summer, said she's excited to get to work. Walkins, Color Creative was formed on a strong foundation and with the intention to shift the paradigm for women and people of color creators. Walken said in a statement, "I have spent my career operating with the same mission. It is my honor to join a squad of fearless storytellers and innovators to create a new business model in this time of unprecedented change." Congrats to Black women doing boss things. The next article is titled, "Former Vogue editor Andre Leon Talley releases second memoir, Chiffon Trenches," quote unquote. "I never separated from my Blackness," declares Andre Leon Talley. "My Blackness is what made me." The statement seems to be something of a departure for Talley, who is better known as a staple among fashion industry icons like Anna Wintour and the late Karl Lagerfeld, than as an advocate for racial justice. But true to form, Talley is full of surprises. He's poised and elegant, flamboyant but wrapped in modesty. He is always candid and always unexpected. In his second memoir, The Chiffon Trenches, Talley intimately details his experience as a Black man in the industry. "I can only write this book based on who I am and where I came from. This is very humble beginning in the tobacco town of Durham, North Carolina," he says. In his first autobiographical effort, ALT, a memoir, he wrote about his relationship with former Vogue editor-in-chief Diana Vreeland and shared how a 6'7" African-American man from North Carolina spent decades in the chiffon trenches. When the book was released in 2003, Talley, who remains highly regarded among industry trendsetters, was still contributing editor at Vogue, so he probably couldn't say so much. In Trenches, all that has changed. But if you're expecting a drama-filled, tell-all, trashing Vogue editors, don't. In fact, Talley credits Wintour for, at one point, making him the highest-ranking Black man in history of fashion journalism. Still, he acknowledges that his seat at the top came with a few challenges. In 2018, when Beyoncé graced the cover of Vogue, she was photographed by Tyler Mitchell, the first Black man to shoot a cover for the magazine. Talley penned an op-ed about the historic moment for the Washington Post. The piece appeared to go unnoticed by his former colleagues, even those whom Talley considered friends. "I was disappointed," he admits, "but he wasn't surprised at their silence either. Editors I've worked with for decades didn't understand the immense importance of this occasion simply because they are not capable of understanding." Talley reflects his new offering. "None of my contemporaries have seen the world through Black eyes. Now I realize it is my duty to tell the story of how a Black man survived and thrived in the chiffon trenches." Perhaps Talley wouldn't be where he is had he detailed his longevity in fashion solely through the lens of race. And yet it's clear race played a role in his experience. To that end, Talley's story is certainly one of Black persistence. Activism, after all, can arguably include excelling in a field rarely seen a person of color rise through the ranks. The next article is titled, "Rihanna Shares Surprising New Details About Fenty Skin." You probably want to know everything about Fenty Skin, and we have a few details that may surprise you. The forthcoming skincare line from Rihanna not only includes products that appear to make your skin extra dewy, but the new formulas, which launch on July 31st, can be used on your significant other too. After the brand shared a campaign video featuring famous faces like ASAP, Rocky, and Lil Nas X, you may have concluded that Fenty skin isn't just for the ladies. On Sunday, Rihanna confirmed it's for the fellas too. That's right, baby. At Fenty Skin is for my fellas too. No matter who you are, you deserve to have great skin, tweeted Rihanna, who also shared that she spent over 2 years perfecting the products. To get your hands on the products as soon as possible, sign up for early access at FentySkin.com. FentySkin.com. The next article is titled, MC Light Opens Up About Her Rhinoplasty and Shares Her Secrets to Great Skin. For years, we've all wondered how MC Light has kept the same baby face that she has had when she dropped Paper Thin back in 1988 at the 2020 Essence Festival of Culture Beauty Carnival. The entertainer shared with Essence editor-at-large Mickey Taylor how she has retained that flawless and youthful look over the decades. It's a lot of water first off because I'm prone to break out, she said. So it takes a lot of discipline to not eat the little things that I can't eat. Take, for instance, chocolate. Who can't eat chocolate? That's a terrible affliction upon God's children. She went on to explain that she doesn't eat ice cream because she can't have dairy. She also can't eat many of the dairy alternatives because she can't eat soy either, or cashews or coconut. So my regimen has a lot to do with my discipline and not eating the things I should not eat. Light continued, and if I decide, okay, I don't have to be in the public's eye for however long, I'll negotiate whether I'll eat it. I'll eat it, and I'll suffer for about 2 weeks trying to dissolve this pimple into nothing. Then you have a mark, then you have to work on the mark. So I really weigh my options as to what I want to spend my time thinking about. She also explained that she washes her face thoroughly and never sleeps with makeup on or lashes. In fact, she doesn't indulge in eyelash extensions so that she can have a clean eye when she goes to bed. She wears a great moisturizer and, of course, uses SPF. She also avoids using oils on the face and doesn't even use cocoa butter, an ingredient that has become a skincare staple in Black households over the years. I need to feel like my skin can breathe, and that means I need something that is water-based and that leaves my skin feeling light and airy, not like it's covered, she said. And some people find protection in that, but it just doesn't work for me. Light also revealed to Taylor that she turns 50 this year alongside Essence. And with age comes wisdom. For Light, that included the wisdom of understanding that her happiness had to come before what others wanted and expected from her. And she was candid about her openness to trying Botox and her decision to have rhinoplasty. I thought many years ago that I wanted to get rhinoplasty, she said. I don't have bone at the top of my bridge. I didn't have cartilage, so my nose kind of fell in the middle. I said, I'm going to take my time with this. I found the right doctor, and I was able to do it. But people were so accustomed to seeing MC Light with this face. But I said, what about what I want? She continued, if something that I absolutely do not regret, and I think that if there's anything that you feel like you want to change about yourself, it's only you that has to deal with you. So I would pay it no, never mind to whatever anyone else had to say. The next article is titled, Jackie Aina Responds to Disturbing Comments About Lightening Her Skin. In addition to endless makeup products, beauty influencer Jackie Aina occasionally receives unsolicited advice about what to do with her body. The beloved beauty guru took to Instagram on Tuesday to sound off about disturbing messages she received regarding solutions for lightening her inner thigh area after she posted a video of herself dancing in a bikini. Considering the makeup maven didn't ask for tips, the DMs were problematic. I can't tell you how many times I'm just living my best life, being carefree, being black, being a woman, being all those things, and then here comes someone with the suggestion nobody asked for, said Aina. There are two things that will never be up for discussion, my hair and my complexion. Aina went on to offer a general rule of thumb. If I don't ask, the suggestion is not welcomed. When it comes to having dark knees, dark inner thighs, and dark armpits, I'd like to still be bomb as hell and fabulous, she said, and I don't need suggestions on how to modify those things. And according to the post comment section, Aina isn't the only one being shamed for having extra melanin. Beauty influencer Shalom Blanc and model Ducky Thought also recalled receiving unsought comments. I needed this because I recently got shamed for my armpits being dark, revealed Blanc. Love this a lot. The amount of times people online have suggested I use bleaching creams is ridiculous, wrote Thought. Aina ended the clip by offering black girls the following advice for dealing with unsolicited opinions. Tell them I didn't ask. The next article is titled, Black Surgeon Braids Patient's Natural Hair Before Surgery. After undergoing a skull surgery last month, India Marshall removed her bandages to find that her dark, voluminous curls had been braided neatly. The braids, which she presumed were done by her nurses, made it easier for her to clean her incision without her hair getting in the way. During her follow-up visit with Dr. Jewel Graywood, the black surgeon who'd remove a benign bone growth on her forehead, she learned that he had braided her hair. That was a shock for me, said Marshall in a recent interview. Once I took the surgical cap off, I saw that she had thick, dark, curly hair like my daughter's hair, said Graywood, who spends curl nights at home with his wife, braiding his three daughters' hair. I undid the braids just where I needed to get access, and afterward, I used staples because every time you use stitches, you tend to cut hair. Nobody wants to have their hair cut or shaved, he continued. About a week later, she came in and I took the staples out and said, "These braids look a little better than mine." And then she kind of looked up at me. What? Marshall said the simple gesture of the doctors wanting to preserve her hair was really special and is also uncommon. The lack of cross-cultural training mixed with the racist attitudes in healthcare can be unnerving for black patients and deter them from seeking medical services. Marshall's recent experience, however, has had an opposite effect and inspired more women to seek black health care providers. A viral tweet in which she recalls the unbelievable moment garnered responses from many black people saying they never thought about seeking out a black doctor, but they would after hearing her story. I feel like there is a level of care and connection with black doctors and black patients that we don't necessarily always get, noted Marshall. For Graywood, it was about the importance of making people feel scene. The person that you are interacting with is an actual person, a family member, or somebody else, he said, noting that bringing awareness to this is very timely for what's happening in our country right now. And you don't necessarily have to expect a viral reaction, but it definitely is important. The next article is titled, Bad Hair Star Ella Lorraine Says Losing Her Hair Helped Her Find Herself. For Black women, the different journeys we go through with our hair can be very complex. It can truly be uncomfortable for celebrities experiencing their hair journey right before the public. Bad Hair star Ella Lorraine opened up about her own bad hair experiences during a discussion with the cast and creators of the film on the Essence Festival of Culture Beauty Carnival virtual stage. I'm originally from Houston, Texas, and moving to LA, I feel like there was all of a sudden a part of me that had to look a certain way, she said. I had to present an image that I wasn't used to. So I went through so many hair changes, from the weaves to the what is it, dyed, fried, and blow dried. All those things. I even remember at one point I tried to go blonde because I was trying to look different and present myself in a different way for the industry, and all of my hair fell out. She continued, and that was a moment for me when I was like, okay, I have to find myself, my own identity, and love everything about myself because no one else will. And once I did that, I kind of started to open up and find out who I am as a woman. My hair defines me in a totally different way at this point. It's an experience that so many Black women can relate to, including Lorraine Badd's hair character, who gets a weave in order to succeed in the music television industry in the 1980s, and soon has a regrettable experience. It's a horror and a comedy, like many of our weave experiences, that takes the term bad hair to the next level. We can't wait until the movie is released in theaters and during Halloween, Hulu's Scary Movie Fest in October. We have run out of time for today's episode of Ebony. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I'm Avra Lewis reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Ebony is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org.
The purpose of the North Carolina Reading Service is to connect people who are blind and print impaired with each other, their families, and the community by delivering news, information, and entertainment using the latest audio technology. For more information about the North Carolina Reading Service, visit us online at ncreadingservice.org. You can also give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. The North Carolina Reading Service. We breathe words into your life.